We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Mayor Mitchell, the U.S. manufacturing sector added about 40,000 jobs, the most in 15 years in November. That's according to ADP and Moody's Analytics. Are you seeing any significant growth in the manufacturing sector in New Bedford?
Well, indeed we are, Ian. Our manufacturers over the last few years have added several thousand jobs. Manufacturers like Joseph Abboud and Titleist Golf Balls and Precise, O-Rings, all companies that have been thriving over the last few years have been adding jobs and have seen increased revenue. And those trends continue. In New Bedford, about 15 to 20% of our workforce is in manufacturing, so it's a significant boost for us overall.
A related question. We heard President Trump start talking a lot during the campaign last year about bringing offshore jobs back to the United States. You're describing some growth in the manufacturing sector, probably due to nuances in the global economy. Do you think Trump's vow on bringing jobs back amounts to anything, or is that just rhetoric?
Well, I think it's rhetoric insofar as he suggests that by a couple of tweaks to American policy, we can bring back manufacturing in ways that existed back in the 1950s. The world has changed. But I do think that the emphasis in manufacturing these days on precision and advanced manufacturing will make a difference. And so there are workforce training challenges that have to be overcome, it seems to me, because the factory worker of today is a very different one from the 1950s when manufacturing in America was at its height. But look, we know that Chinese wages have been coming up, and that manufacturing has been offshored from China to places like sub-Saharan Africa and other places where wages are low. And you know, that race to the bottom of sorts will work for certain manufacturers, but not all. In the United States, it's the skills that we sell and are able to muster that will make us competitive in manufacturing.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, a lot of people, including the president, point to NAFTA as the big, bad boogeyman in all of this. Is NAFTA really that big a problem?
NAFTA was disruptive in the years after its passage, you know, and New Bedford is a place that certainly felt it. There was certainly a number of manufacturers that were hanging on at that time that could no longer hang on because of the competition that was introduced by virtue of lowering some of the tariffs associated that NAFTA addressed. But we've adjusted our manufacturers, in New Bedford's particular case, have been growing over the last 10 years or so, in part because they've figured out how to become more competitive. And more competitive doesn't necessarily mean adding an awful lot more in the way of payroll, but in scaling up in terms of skill levels and in terms of the sophistication with which they address their markets and also train their folks.
Federal regulators announced plans in November to close a number of stressed groundfish stocks in New England. Some of that was due to the so-called Codfather case in New Bedford and how the Codfather had falsified fishing reports. How is New Bedford coping with the fallout from that?
Well, it's still coping, and this stuff obviously gets really complicated, but the Codfather is a gentleman named Carlos Rafael who ran one and continues to run, even from federal prison, one of the largest fishing companies in the United States. And the case is against him is still unfolding. He has been sentenced in the criminal case in which he was indicted. He's spending 4 years in federal prison, but there are civil enforcement proceedings that NOAA will bring against him in the months ahead that will might entail the forfeiture of vessels as well as additional fines.
NOAA, the National Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration.
Exactly. So which regulates the commercial fishing industry, among other things. So you know, what we've tried to do in New Bedford is to impress upon NOAA that it is in the public interest for NOAA, the federal government, to settle all the remaining enforcement actions and to allow for the disposition of Carlos Rafael's permits to remain in New Bedford. And that's the goal, so that the landings continue, regardless of who owns the permits, to stay right in New Bedford and to support the industries that rely, the companies that rely on them.
We're talking here with New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell, and now back to Scott.
I'm wondering, we're getting into the political season on a statewide level in Massachusetts. Why do you think Republican Governor Charlie Baker's approval rating numbers are so high?
Well, there are lots of reasons. I think he benefits from a very robust economy, especially in the Boston area, but really in every corner of the state, and that helps anybody in elected office, let's face it. I think he's taken pains to reach out to Democrats for sure, in a state that is becoming more moderate, in a state where unenrolled voters even now vastly outnumber even Democrats. You know, he's been very skillful in taking positions that distance himself from the Trump administration, which is wise. He's a Republican, and it is sometimes dicey for him to distance himself from, you know, the standard bearer in his own party. But he's made very clear that he's no Trump Republican, because the name Trump isn't exactly the most popular one in Massachusetts these days.
Are you concerned that your industry still a lot of textiles, things like that? You mentioned Joseph Abboud in suits. But is your manufacturing sector still too hinged to textiles?
Well, it's not hinged on textiles at all. If you mean apparel, which the folks in two very different things, right? So some of our manufacturers remain in the apparel industry. There are a few that are still textile, but they're all very high end textile. Some with some products that have military applications, but that constitutes a fairly small part of our overall, if you will, our GDP as a city. We are, more than anything else, a maritime economy. The port of New Bedford itself generates, according to one recent state-sponsored study, about 2% of Massachusetts' gross domestic product. It supports almost 7,000 jobs, and we're taking pains to diversify our maritime economies, because we think that's the place where New Bedford will be competitive in the long run.
How do you do that?
Through good management of our port, through wise infrastructure investment, through good marketing, and through very targeted economic development efforts that allow us to take the capital from those traditional industries and direct it to new industries. To be more concrete about it, we know that we've got to build much more of a knowledge-based economy in and around New Bedford, and we think we can do that in the maritime sector, because that's what we specialize in already. So we want to see new startups that relate one way or the other to the maritime economy, because we think that's going to be the source of new industries in the long run.
Speaking of diversification, I see the process is creeping forward for the South Coast Rail Project, a rail system that's envisioned between New Bedford and Boston. Do you think this has a realistic chance of really happening?
Well, I think it'll eventually happen when folks in Boston recognize that the state's transportation network is so antiquated that it is having a constraining effect on the Boston economy's workforce, right? The Boston economy is red hot, as we all know, and companies in Boston need access to labor. And if you don't have good public transportation options, it's not going to that economy will not reach its full potential. It is an expensive project for sure. The downside of the discussion of South Coast Rail over the years has been that it's sucked up all the oxygen in the room. It has been seen as a sort of a silver bullet for economic decline in southeastern Massachusetts. To my mind, it is a good project. It is one of many things, many capital projects we'd like to see the state invest in, and it's something I'll continue to support in that vein.
All right, we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell.
Thanks, Ian.